Acts chapter 25 and verse 13. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth before thee, and specially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. Amen. May God bless to us this reading. In many ways, this is really a very simple and straightforward story that we have before us right now. The Romans often allowed the rulers of countries that they had conquered to rule with a delegated authority while they, the Romans, kept the real power. And this was the case with this man, Agrippa. So while he's called a king, he's not actually as important as the Roman provincial leader, Festus. This Agrippa was son of Herod, who had killed James. You may remember from the beginning of Acts that James, one of the disciples, had been killed with the sword. And he's the son of the man who killed James and then would have killed Peter also. And this Bernice was likely his sister. They were Jews, and Festus hoped that they would be able to explain what this trouble with Paul and the Jews was all about, because it now was clear that Festus had to send Paul to Rome. But he didn't even know what to write as being the sentence that was against accusations that were against Paul. And so he hoped that Agrippa and perhaps Bernice would be able to cast some light so that he had something to write to Caesar. Since like Felix and Lysias before him, he really had no idea what Paul was in prison for and what his crime was. He simply knew that the Jews wanted him dead. And Agrippa, it seems, was happy to oblige. No doubt, as a Jew, he knew something of the Jewish faith, and perhaps he was interested to know a little bit more about Jesus, whom he also likely had heard about and may even have been familiar with because of the Christian movement in Jerusalem. And there was plenty of pomp and ceremony when Agrippa came to see Festus and came to the court. And again, we find that Paul is brought out and he has to explain himself again. And despite three judges already finding no reason to condemn him. And so this incident in itself is very straightforward, and the facts of the case are clear. But what we can point out here, perhaps, is that we find here a lovely fulfillment of Jesus' words to his disciples, of whom, of course, now Paul is numbered as an apostle. Because the Lord Jesus Christ had told his disciples that for his sake they would be brought. And we're told, the Lord says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 18, "And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." And Paul could later write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, "For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels," or to rulers, "and to men." And Paul was writing there to the Corinthians of the fact that here he was once again, stood in the middle of all of these people, the high and the mighty, the great and the good. And he had to give a reason time after time for the faith that was within him. And that's always been true of the Lord's people. They've been mocked, they've been misunderstood, they've been misrepresented by the powers of religion, the powers of government, even military powers, because these have found the doctrines of the church, the doctrines and teachings of believers, to be mysterious and their beliefs to be unusual. The practices of Christians in worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ betrays a hope that is not of this world, but of the world to come. It speaks of allegiances that are not directed to worldly powers, but to a heavenly king with a heavenly kingdom. And of course, when we speak about a heavenly king with a heavenly kingdom, that might appear to be a threat to earthly kings and earthly kingdoms. And yet the believer's conduct is in itself kind and gracious and inoffensive. Yet we find that the powers of religion, of government, and of kings is often set against us. This is a great enigma, a great puzzle. But in the end, it comes down to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ that we believe and that men mock. The gospel of salvation through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Festus, he said to Agrippa, "One Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive." And indeed, that Paul did. That was the motivation of his ministry, that he knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was alive. He had met him, he had spoken to him, and he had taught him and commissioned him for this great work of gospel preaching. So the Apostle Paul could say, "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The world cannot comprehend this message. It must either deny it, or adapt it, or suppress it. And all three have been tried against the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul could say, and I hope we all can say with him, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The great and the good, the pompous and the powerful, and all the natural, carnal men and women of this world, they can and they do mock and ignore or misuse our gospel. But to all who by grace simply believe the message of the resurrection, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. May God give us all the grace to find it to be so. Amen. Thank you.